Our second reading is from the Gospel according to Luke in the 5th chapter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish, their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. In our hearing, our speaking, our living. Simon, James, and John are cleaning their nets as Jesus approaches. He's hemmed in by the crowd, that had been hearing of his reputation and starting to follow him around. Fishing nets in Jesus' day were mostly made of flax grown by the farmers. The fishers and the hired hands would have to weave these into the strong, flexible nets. They had to be cleaned and mended after each catch. Fishing at this time is a highly regulated, highly taxed industry in Israel. Those who are really profiting from it are the rulers and the wealthy. It is hard, unending work, and those actually doing the fishing gain very little from it. They and the peasants are kept poor and in debt to the wealthy ruling class and ultimately to Caesar. So it's no accident Jesus is spending his time not in the big cities, but in these small villages around the Sea of Galilee. He's speaking to ordinary people. Simon sees Jesus approaching. He's already been around Jesus a fair amount. He's heard him teaching. He has witnessed Jesus healing his own mother-in-law in her home. He has seen other healings. He's watched from something of a distance, but now Jesus is on his turf. What could this traveling rabbi possibly know about spending all night on the sea, knowing your family depends on what you can pull up in those nets? What could he know of that kind of physical exhaustion, the uncertainty, the sudden storms that spring up? What did he know about the tedious, painstaking, hours-long work of cleaning a net, of mending the holes with your hands until there's nothing left of your fingers? Not to mention the high taxes, the price of flax, and having to deal with processors and vendors and government reps. Jesus shows up when the night has been long and the nets are empty. Things happen quickly. He climbs in Simon's boat and teaches the crowd, and the crowd then starts to move on, and he asks Simon and the others, "Let's head out in deeper waters. let's go catch some fish. This makes no sense to Simon. And he tries to argue, we're tired. There's nothing out there. But there's something. Something. Simon catches Jesus' eye and says, if you say so. And now Simon Peter stands on the shore, knee-deep in fish everywhere, and Jesus is saying something about catching people. But Simon is the one who feels like he's been caught between the life he had known and this something he is being called to. Simon asks forgiveness. It's not clear what for, but Jesus invites him, come and follow. Jesus and Simon and all the others go on to catch people. They catch the poor and the blind, the lepers and the centurions, the hurting, and sometimes the people causing the hurt. They catch the hopeless and sometimes those responsible for that hopelessness. Catching people, fishing for people, as the other gospels say, has been traditionally interpreted as bringing people into the fold, getting people to accept Christ, saving souls, baptisms and conversions and expanding roles. But you know, Jesus didn't ever seem to really care much about any of that. About doctrine or judgment or numbers or drawing lines between who is and is not worthy of God's love, Jesus would have none of that. Could it be Jesus meant what he said, that he had come to set captives free, to give sight to the blind, to deliver good news to the poor and the marginalized? He's always more interested in people finding fullness of life, in communities creating a fair and just life for all. He wanted Simon and all the others and all of us to catch people up into the love of God that is expansive and not exclusive, especially those without hope. Have to wonder if that's the kind of catching Jesus meant. Maybe Jesus went around a lot inviting people to invite others. Not to a particular creed, but to a life with purpose, to a life beyond being controlled by Caesar, a life beyond acquiescing to systems that rob the poor and keep people bound, a life not lived only for self or mere survival, but a life turned outward, a life of hope. Shaka Sangur was 19 years old when he shot and killed a man. He had been an honor roll student when he was young, but he was growing up in an abusive household. And at 17, he was on the street and in trouble, right and left. He got shot at 17, was treated. He said no one hugged him, asked him if he was okay. They patched him up and put him back out on the street. And 14 months later, he'd killed a man. He was trouble in prison, labeled one of the worst, spent 7.5 years in solitary confinement. He says that literature kept him strong. He'd always loved to read, especially the classics. And one day he got a letter from his young son. It was all in capitals. And it said, "Mama told me why you're in prison, period. Murder, period. Don't kill, Dad. Jesus watches what you do." And it hit him that his son saw him as a murderer. And he remembered in one of those books he had read that someone named Socrates had once said, "An unexamined life isn't worth living." And he started looking at his life, reclaiming the parts of himself that were good. He received a letter from a relative of the person he had killed who said she had forgiven him. Nobody had ever forgiven him. He thought, well, maybe it's possible I can start to forgive myself. He got out of prison, and now he mentors young men. His son is 22 years old now, and they are close. Maybe Jesus wants to catch people like all those we're reading about these days. Maybe Jesus really wants to catch that long line of politicians being caught behaving badly. I wish he would. Maybe Jesus wants to catch the people who are so afraid that they lash out and turn fear into hatred. Maybe he wants to catch people like us when we think our work isn't amounting to much, or we worry we're not enough, or when we haven't been the people we know we should be and we carry around a heavy burden. Maybe Jesus wants us to catch each other in our worst moments and say, there is more to life than this. There is abundance and love and forgiveness. Jesus shows up when the night has been long and the nets are still empty, when we are weary from trying to help, when we've waited and waited and all there is to do is to wait a little more, when we worry there's nothing left to give. Jesus shows up when we can't see how things are ever going to change. Look again, Jesus says, just one more time. Try again. Breathe. Go out in the deep water to that place where you feel this mix of energy and fear that there's something more being drawn out of you. Maybe that's the real essence of faith, not correct belief or being better than the next person or having all the answers, but in that place between dusk and dawn when you've got nothing left, but something inside you nudges you to suspend your skepticism and disbelief and your questions, and like Simon, just in the moment say, if you say so, if you say so, if you say so, we will try again. If you say so, we will do our best to move out of the shallows and into the deep waters, to leave behind shallow debates and arguments and move into the deep waters of dismantling the racism and the hate and the fear and the poverty. If you say so, we will commit again and again to work to bring about that just world for all. If you say so, we will try again. We will stare down our fears and we will take that risk. If you say so, we'll trust that you are with us in whatever boat we find ourselves in. If you say so, we won't give up on ourselves or anyone else. We will bring our weariness and our hope, our worn hands and thirsty spirits, our talents and gifts, our joy, all that we have, and trust that you, O God, create abundance. You show us a world where everyone has more than enough and no one needs to live in fear, where there's plenty of fish and more enough love. If you say so, we will. Amen.